continue this morning with our series looking at the anatomy of confession, and it's a subject that is almost endless. It's a major foundation of the Christian faith. So if you don't understand this, you don't understand what it means to be a Christian. You may have heard different things about what it means to be a Christian. If you don't understand what we're looking at this season, you've been a Christian for a number of years, but you've never really understood what it means to be a Christian. It means you will bear the name Christian in name, but you won't have the power or the results at work in your life. Hallelujah. So I want to please implore every one of us, do your best to get this series. Listen to it over and over again. You can only retain probably less than 10% of what you hear on the pulpit. You need to go back and listen to things that the Holy Ghost spoke to us before you can really get the full import of what has been taught and communicated. So it's important. Don't assume you've had it. You've not really had it until you sit down with it and you begin to feed upon it and meditate upon it, and then the truth will come alive unto you. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then shall you be my disciples indeed. So they are disciples, and they are disciples indeed, if you continue. So there's something about persistent continuity that brings you to the place where the scripture now says, then shall you know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. So until you continue, there's no guarantee you're going to know the truth. You will have ideas. You will have suggestions. You will have what people say, but you won't have the truth. But it's the truth that we live by that brings us liberty. So there's something about continuing those things that you've had in order to get full results. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to start with Romans chapter 10 this morning, and I want to share one or two things with us. If you didn't come on Wednesday, you missed. Oh my goodness. How many people were here on Wednesday? What happened on Wednesday? Oh my God. You know the Holy Ghost falls. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell. On Wednesday, the Holy Ghost fell on us. Glory to God. It was a good thing the doors were shut, because people outside would wonder what is going on in that place. The Holy Ghost fell on us on Wednesday. Beautiful. Are you them? Romans chapter 10. From verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God to Israel, or for Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. This scripture, verse 12, was one of the scriptures that liberated me when it came to experiencing God concerning the supernatural. For the same God over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The same God over all, which is God, is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't have favorites. He only pays attention to those who pay attention to his word. Now, the Bible says that the Jews had a problem. They've been ignorant of God's righteousness, of God's method, or God's method of operation, and going about to establish their own righteousness. They've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, which means God has a particular method of operation when it comes to righteousness. What is that method? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. The righteousness of it will always speak. It doesn't do for us. It speaks for us. That is God's primary method of operation. So we need to understand that if you don't submit to that particular method, you may have knowledge, but it's not in line with God's righteousness. God's system of operation is that if you are in faith, you speak first. That's why speaking is so important. We saw Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 1, we saw the process of creation. In Genesis chapter 2, we see the process of formation. What's the difference? To create means to bring something out of nothing. We're not exactly nothing. But then in chapter 2, formation means to bring something out of what already exists. But the first thing God did, and God called work, the Bible says, and on the 76th day, God rested on the 7th day. And he hallowed the 7th day after creating for 6 days. Why did God need to rest? If all God did in 27 chapters, but just to speak. God is showing us in principle that speaking is extremely important when it comes to releasing God's ability and when it comes to creating the things that God has already spoken into your life. Very important. On the seventh day, God rested and hallowed the seventh day. And yet in chapter 2, the Bible says, and God began to form man, which he had made from the dust of the heart. So it means that the process of speaking is what God considers work. The process of formation, God didn't consider it as work. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? The process of doing things with your hand, God doesn't call it work. The real work is in the speaking. And God spoke, and God saw, and God said it was good. And God spoke, and God saw, and God said it was good. What was God doing? Showing us a method of operation. The righteousness which is of faith always speaks. Always speaks. And so God spent 28, 29 verses to 31 declaring his word. And each time he declared, he saw those things. And then in chapter 2, he began to form the things he had said, which means substance had come and had been released. So God is emphasizing to us, if we're going to act like God and be imitators of God like their children, we must understand how to speak consistently. And that's one of the reasons why it's amazing how very little speaking we do in our daily lives. It's really amazing. Christians are quick to pray, but they are slow to speak. Which means when you ask Christians, how much of God's word do you declare? The question we should ask was, how much of God's word do you have? Because you can't declare if you don't have. The Bible says, out of your heart, out of the heart, comes the boundaries of life. So it says, guard your heart with all diligence. But out of it will come the boundaries of life. So the reason why I won't die at 50 or 60 is because there is a boundary in my heart. And I've spoken out that boundary, for with long life, it satisfies me and shows me a salvation. So I'm not afraid. Someone say that, you know, people are just dying these days. That's not the boundary in my heart. There's a boundary in my heart that's a supernatural boundary, instilled by God's word. And I've already put it there. And I'm declaring it that with long life, it satisfies me. What am I doing? Out of my heart comes the boundaries of life. So last week we saw something that it doesn't matter what people say over you, as long as what you say is not in agreement with what they say. Moses says, a curse without a curse cannot come. So what you say matters more. It is when what people say has entered your heart and you are now saying that begins to affect you. But the Bible says the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise or in this manner. So until you begin to speak in the privacy of your closet, I'm using the word closet figuratively now. I'm not saying you should lock yourself in your room. I'm saying that you have a place that is private. It may be at your place of work, but you have a quiet time. And your quiet time is not quiet time. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Your quiet time should not be quiet time. Your quiet time should be a noisy time. It should be time when you are releasing substance. Because arrows are flying by day and there's terror by night. So before the arrow can fly, you had better release some other arrows concerning your own life and your future and your destiny. And God is counting on you. Your family is counting on you. There is nothing accidental in the realm of the spirit. Things are done deliberately. We win deliberately. We are victorious deliberately. There's nothing coincidental about it. And you need to understand. The righteousness of faith speaks on this wise. So if you are a Christian and you've not yet learned how to speak and to declare God's word, you are still a baby Christian. What makes a mature Christian is how much of God's word you can declare, not even how much you can pray. Because it's easier to pray than to declare God's word. If I tell you to stand up and say that, declare God's word for 30 seconds, it will amaze you how long 30 seconds will look. What's the problem? You don't have the word abiding in your heart. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will want. So the reason why you're not speaking like you should speak, because it's not abounding. So there's nothing for the mouth to pick up. Hallelujah. Check what is abundant in your heart. How do you know? What does your mouth regularly say? If you are focusing on gossip columns and you are focusing on TV programs, it's obvious what your mouth will be saying because that's what's abundant in your heart. Now, you don't need to tell your mouth to speak when something is abundant in your heart. Once it's abundant, it will overflow into your mouth. Whether there's a challenge or not. That's the principle. The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. God is showing us a method of operation. Divine strategy. That God saw darkness, he called forth light. That God saw chaos, he called order into existence. And God calls it work. That's what God calls work. So for me to see sickness, and call forth health, it is work in the realm of the spirit. For me to see failure and call for victory, God calls that work in the realm of spirit. In fact, he said, labor that you may enter into that rest. That's what the Bible calls labor. Not what we do with our hands. That's small. That's why I said 2 weeks ago that if you want whatever you're doing with your hands to prosper and get to the peak of what God has designed it, your mouth must be watering it, must be blessing it. If you're teaching, whatever it is, that if what you do is with your mouth, then you are receiving intelligence and divine wisdom. I have godly counsel. When I speak, men listen. What are you doing? You are blessing the work of your hands. That's what you're doing. If you don't do that, there won't be a release of the supernatural. You are a spirit. You're not a soul. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. And because this body is subject to challenges on the outside, if your spirit is not allowed to dominate by the things you see, you won't see victory. It will look like a mirage. So I'm saying that we're not just teaching. We're teaching for the purpose of practice. And it is practice that brings perfection and excellence. So what I see consistently in your life is a picture of what you have been saying when I was present, when you were speaking or not. So if you have not been speaking, you are robbing yourself of victory. You're still living a life of, you know, whatever will be. You know, there's nothing like that. In fact, there are many things that shouldn't be that will be if you don't speak. You need to get back in the driver's seat of life. Hallelujah. Don't allow yourself to be driven. You get in driver's seat and declare what should be. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. It doesn't do first, it speaks first. And after it speaks, then it can is now enabled to do. Matthew chapter 4. God willing, we'll come back to this place. Matthew chapter 4. Look at the temptation of Jesus. Jesus is something profound. When Satan came. Are you there? Matthew chapter 4 from verse 1. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, now this particular statement is extremely profound. Remember, let me give you a background. First of all, let me just give you a background. If you read Psalm 73, you will see where the psalmist said, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter secret things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And that was the prophecy about Jesus. Now, there are some fundamental principles about mankind and about the earth that it was Jesus that came to reveal it. For instance, one of those fundamental principles is the fact that whosoever shall say unto this mountain and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he what said. Why? It was a parable. It was a dark saying kept secret until Jesus exposed it. Notice he said whosoever, which means it will work for somebody who is not even a Christian. He wasn't speaking to born again. Nobody was born again when he was speaking. He was opening up the principle. Whosoever, as far as man is concerned, so who is talking to man about the man? Because man is a spirit. Shall say unto this mountain, and shall not doubt in his heart. Which is once he's convinced that whatsoever he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. That's one of those dark sayings. So everything that Jesus said, there were some things hidden from the foundation of the world. None of the other prophets picked it up until Jesus came. Why? It's the full revelation of the Father. So now, in that light, now, look at what Jesus is about to say here. Look at that verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that what? Proceeds out of the mouth of who? God. How does God govern things? By the word that proceeds from his mouth. How is man meant to live? If man is a co-creator with God, he too is meant to govern, prevail, rule in circumstances of life by words that proceed first from God's mouth to his ear, then out of his own mouth. So notice it says, man shall not live. The word live there means to have interaction with life and his environment. He is not going to have proper interaction except he does it by every word that proceeds. So what he's saying is this, as long as a man is living by bread alone, he's only half alive. Let me say that again. As long as living by bread alone, he's only half alive. He's not fully alive. Why? There's a part of man that needs bread, his physical body. Was designed to be sustained by bread. But there's another part of man, which is more important, his spirit. That part of him is sustained by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What does that mean? He's not just talking about the written word, but that in fellowship with God, there are certain things you and I will hear from the mouth of God to our ear that will change our lives once we start living by it. I had some challenges in the spirit over the weekend, and I picked up some signals. Me and my wife, that okay, there were some things that are about to come out that we needed to deal with, and I was pondering on it and praying in the spirit. And as I entered my car, about to go, my thing was on Thursday or Friday. The Spirit of God said, "He said, if there's no future deliverance, there will be no present challenge." Did you hear what I said? He said, "If there's no future deliverance, there will be no present challenge." He said, "So there's a future that is glorious." And so the challenges want to come to stop that future now. So contend honestly in the faith. Glory to God. Why was God saying that? Because I have the victory. The outcome is sure if I stand my ground. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So here's what believers do. Challenges come and they quake. And they quiver and they tremble. And some of them eventually fall. They don't understand that they are standing. It's not just protecting what they are expecting at time, but they are protecting a greater future. For if you are handling 100 men now under your employ, and God is looking at 10,000, believe me, challenges will come. Do you understand? So you need to become more versatile at the use of the word with every single challenge. We don't shy away from challenges. We welcome them with open arms. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You won't cry next time. You will be able to understand this is a stepping stone. I must have greater things in my future. And I need to pass this exam now and move on. How do I pass it? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by one, every word that proceeds. So there is a proceeding word in all situations to every man or every child of God. From your father's mouth to your ear, it's meant to come out of your mouth. It is the key to the victory in that particular situation you're facing. So here's the problem. God's word is proceeding from God's mouth to yours, but that word is not proceeding from your mouth outside into the situation. That's one of the reasons why you need to fight depression and understand it's a demonic attack. Because the first thing that happens when you're depressed is you don't want to talk to anybody. The last thing you want to do is speak. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You want to keep quiet. You want to be on your own. You want to go into a corner. Why does that happen? To shut your mouth from speaking. But you are a speaking spirit. Wired for victory. And wired for greatness. So if anything can stop you from speaking, it has temporarily taken your victory. Hallelujah. The righteousness which is of faith, speak it on this wise. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved, or you'll be handed over into your victory. That's what the Bible says. So if I believe in my heart and I don't release it with my mouth, I won't be handed over to victory, even though victory is present. That's why I must never joke in the place of prayer the principles of confession and declaration declaring God's word. As a matter of fact, I've learned from practice that I get to pray better when I've spent more time declaring God's word. When I enter into God's presence, how do you enter? Some people enter this way. Lord, have mercy. Forgive me for the way I've been. Everything you're saying is a reflection of what's abundant in your heart. If you've ever read Ephesians chapter 1, that he has made you accepted in the beloved. That being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That therefore we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In this grace wherein we stand, you won't go that way. Hallelujah. You will come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace. It says come boldly. What is the problem? You are approaching a spirit. How do you approach him? On the basis of his word, not on the basis of how you feel. Hallelujah. God is not feeling. Your feeling can't change who God is. He only affects you. And he affects how you come. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't have an high priest that can't be touched by the feeling of our father. So come boldly to me, that you may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. That's what the Bible is saying. So even the way you are coming already says whether you will leave the prayer victorious or not. Your conduct matters. What you say matters. God is a spirit. We approach him with words. That's how we approach God. So the things you say first, before you even start on the prayer, so to speak, matters more to him. Hallelujah. It matters before God. The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise or has this method of operation. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. And the Bible says the same God overall is rich unto all that call upon him. So why is the riches of his blessing seemingly more manifest in the lives of some than amongst others? The Bible says the same God over all is what rich unto all. The word rich there means is he abounds towards everyone that calls. The difference is in the way they call. So everyone comes in the place of prayer, and some are calling by declaring what God has said about them, and some are calling by declaring what they feel, and that's the problem. Do you know it's amazing? In this church, there are people who have been members of this church for 2-3 years, and it's still shocking to hear them pray. And I wonder, were they present in spirit or absent in body? I don't understand how to explain it. Because you need to be a genius to remain that way. I mean, you need special skills. That you've been in a local assembly like this, where you have taught God's word, particularly in this place of prayer. If I teach prayer, you will think it's my favorite subject. That you still have not yet found the words to say to God. That your fellowship with God has not increased. That you have not lost your fear. The Bible says we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And ask them to pray. You will still be surprised. Kind of the kind of things they say. Lord, have mercy. Just have mercy. I know we're not qualified. Just have mercy. And God is wondering, when will you grow up? When will you enter into the inheritance of sons and daughters? If you are still at this level. Where everything you are conscious of is your sin. Is your sin so big that the blood of Jesus couldn't cover it? What we say in prayer qualifies or disqualifies us. That's why as you're speaking, you either draw near or you draw far. And both are accomplished by words. We draw near to him by with words. We draw away from him with words also. You see what the Bible speaks since the book of Malachi 3. Your words have been stout against me. That is, God wants to bless people and their words stopped him and limited him. The children of Israel limited the Holy One by the words that they said. God said, you are going to the promised land. They said, we will not go. Guess what? They said it all night. You know, I think we should come to church one day and have all night confession. Some people's lives will change forever. Because when you go to bed and sleep, all you'll be seeing is success and victory. You'll be leaping over walls and running through troops. We do nothing but just confess all night. Maybe something will snap in our minds. And strongholds will give way. The children of Israel didn't pray all night. They cried all night. It takes energy to cry all night. Not much of the 13 and 14. They cried all night. What were they crying? We are not able to go. They have come to kill us in this wilderness. And they did it all night. And they did not go. Why? It wasn't what God wanted for them that came to pass. It was what they said. God said they will go. They said they won't go. Guess which one came to pass? What they were said. And the Bible says in Psalm 17 verse 40, they limited the Holy One of Israel. You can limit God in how much God can do in your life. By the words of your lips, you can. You actually can. That's how potent words can be. Words are the currency of the realm of the spirit. So what I say matters more than I think. Somebody once said that it doesn't matter what you think as long as you don't say it. It doesn't have value. But whatever I think, if I can say it, I have begun to communicate spiritual virtue that will change my immediate environment and change my conscience and change my system. But this is how God operates. This is how the righteous of faith speaks. So I believe my heart and I began to begin to declare with my mouth. Now I want to show you something. We're in Romans, right? Look at, where are we? Sorry, Romans now. Go back to Romans. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Okay, before we go to Romans, forgive me, go to Hebrews and chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I want to show you something that I mentioned earlier. If I'm quoting scriptures and you're not getting it, raise your hand and so that I call my attention so I can stop and go over it again. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 1. I said something about the creation when I started, so let's go along that line. From verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest the promise, being left us of everything to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the what preached did not profit them, not me mixed with faith in them that had it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and then to whom it was first preached entered on him because of unbelief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Joshua, that was Jesus, is actually Joshua. If Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10 is where we're going. And 11. It says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has what? Ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of what? Unbelief. God's word was given to us to provide the rest. So, here I am, absolute health and soundness in body and mind is what God's word has provided. When he did finish it, he finished it in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. So here's what the Bible says. Everything that you are meant to enjoy now through Christ Jesus, God has declared it, and God is at the rest. When you enter into what God has already declared, you also have stopped struggling. You have entered into your own rest. Hallelujah. So, using sickness as an example, for instance, now, the minute I'm able to stand on God's word and I'm declaring consistently what God's word has said concerning health and soundness in body. For instance, in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says that if the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in your body, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken, make alive your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. The Bible also said in the First Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that, you know, that he was hung on a tree, that Let's read that First Peter, please. Chapter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self, are you there? Bear our sin, his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were past or present. Past or present. You were healed, means it's the past. Now, it has been done. But whether you experience it or not is a function of what you are now declaring. Now, what does the Bible mean by you entering into rest? For we which believe do enter into rest. How do you show you believe? There is no believing without speaking. Hallelujah. There is no believing without speaking. We which believe do enter into what? Rest. What does the Bible call rest? The finished works of God. God is not doing anything in heaven to get you well. He has done all he needs to do to make you well. God is not doing anything in heaven to make you prosperous. He has done everything heaven needs to make you prosperous. God is not doing anything extra. The angels are not moving extra to give you victory. He has done all that needs to be done to give you victory. What are you meant to do? Through the confession of your lips, you enter into the rest that God has won, provided. So God's word is that ark of rest. When I begin to declare it, I'm entering into something that has already been finished. In fact, if you look at Hebrews chapter 6, go back to Hebrews. I want to show you something also in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 and verse 13. Are you there? For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Verse 17 is where we're going. It says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. I want you to know something. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. The Bible says that to prove to those who have inherited the promise of God, God swore an oath to show something. God didn't swear the oath to make sure it doesn't fail. There's a difference. Willing more abundantly to show. God wanted to show to those who are inheriting the promises, for instance, like Abraham, and so God swore. It wasn't God swearing that made God's word possible. God's word was already possible. Let me say that again. Willing more abundantly to show the heirs. The subject is the heirs of promise. God wanted to prove to them. So God did something that man will understand. Hallelujah. And God swore. The Bible says, God finding no one greater. So here's what happened. When people want to come into an argument, it's very funny how people seem to have more confidence in the power of the enemy than God. You know, people believe God is slow. Have you noticed? That God is not quick enough when it comes to vengeance. And Moses, vengeance belongs to me, said the Lord. I will repay. People say, no, you are very slow to repay. So when they want to make a covenant or an agreement, so sometimes even when it comes to a business contract, they will go to a shrine. I mean, have you heard about that before? They will go and swear, isn't it? What are they doing? They are looking for a greater one as a witness to what they are about to swear. So they will now swear, and sometimes people will put their family and their lineage on the line. So that is a culture that the people of the world understand. So here's what God did with Abraham. God came to Abraham to prove one thing, that in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply you. God now put himself on the line, because the principle is this: if you are going to show the person that it won't change, what will the person hold on to? Just your word? So people will go to a shrine and invoke spirits and say, may this and this and this happen if I violate this agreement. So, but there was a major problem. God was talking to Abraham and there was no one greater. So God did something. He swore by himself. Let me tell you the implication. It's more serious than you think. What it means is this: if God fails to do what he told Abraham, he will cease to exist. Listen, God more willing to show the immutability of his counsel. This counsel is already immutable, but he needed to show Abraham how immutable it was. So God now did something that will register on Abraham's mind. God went and swore. Finding no greater, he swore by himself. Do you know this Bible? And the promises there, God has sworn. That's why he can't fail. God has sworn by every statement you see there in the Bible. When it comes to promises, concerning health, concerning promises, he has sworn. And God swore for one particular purpose, to show that this thing cannot change. God's word suspends and holds up the universe. But God did it for a particular purpose, to just show that you can't change it. You can't change that counsel. That's why God swore. So every time you put that word upon your lips, you are putting it with a particular assurance in your mind that what I am declaring is sure to come to pass because God has sworn. Hallelujah. God, that's what God did. God actually swore by no greater, he swore by himself. Now, Romans chapter 4 now. Now, you see where I'm going? Romans chapter 4. How do you get it to work? Are we just saying you should just come forward and mouth words? Are you there? From verse 17. Romans chapter 4 from verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against all believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was what? Spoken. Verse 17 again, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him, that is God, whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, I want to see the principle that God uses. Mama says, God calleth those things which be not as though they were. Not as though they are. There's a difference. Don't mix up the two. There's as though they are. There's as though they were. God doesn't call those things which be not as though they are. He calls them as though they were. Hallelujah. Now let me explain what it means now. The Bible says, what did God say to Abraham? A father of nations have I made thee, when Abraham was still barren. Why did God tell Abraham that? God has a fundamental principle which he has released to us in Christ Jesus. God calls those things which be not as though they were. So, when God told Abraham, a father of nations have I made you, automatically from that time, God began to regard and relate with Abraham as a father of many nations. So, here's the problem. 24 years went by and nothing happened to Abraham in that sense. What was the problem? God saw Abraham as a father of many nations. Abraham didn't see himself as a father of many nations. So what did God do? In the last thing that was there, before Isaac was conceived, God appeared again to Abraham and began to talk to him about it until he changed the image that was inside. The day that God changed Abraham's name, he was trying to do something. His name was once called Abraham. He was now being called Abraham, which means father of what? Many nations. That was how God called, got Abraham to confess. Here's what we're trying to look at. He called those things maybe not as though they were. Every time Abraham came before God and came as Abraham, the promise couldn't be fulfilled. Are you following this morning? Every time Abraham came before God as Abraham, the promise couldn't be fulfilled. It was the day that Abraham came as Abraham that the promise began to manifest. Let me explain. If I have financial issues, or I have what we call generational curses, and the Bible says that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, as is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of one Abraham shall come upon one, the Gentiles, I'm redeemed. Until I come into God's presence and in my speech, I am speaking as the blessed. My confessions don't work. Let me say that again. Abraham came into God's presence the day he realized, because Abraham was also a prophet, and he came into God's presence not as Abraham, but as Abraham. That's when Isaac was conceived. What was the difference? Abraham had been coming to God before as Abraham, which is our father, which is in his conscience, that's how he came. Here's what it means. If God speaks to you and says, you know, you are the MD CEO of 6 companies, you don't come to him as an employee working for somebody else. When you are coming to his presence, based on the prophetic word, when you are coming, you say, Father, Bayo is here. Thank you for those 6 companies. They are doing very well. Listen, you don't understand. You don't get it yet. If God calls you married while you are single, he calleth those things which be not, as though they were well. So here's what happens. When you come in as Mrs. You don't come in as Miss. You and God are not on the same page. If you are having issues with conception, and God says, there shall nothing be barren, nor cast their young. For he maketh the barren woman to give one, but and a joyful mother one, children. Once you receive the word, when you are coming in, you are not coming in to receive children. You are a joyful mother of what? Children. When you enter in, see, no man taketh this honor upon himself, but he that is called. So whatever God calls you, when you are coming in, you are not pretending. It is God who gave you the honor. You don't understand. Listen. God came to Gideon and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Guess what Gideon was doing? Hiding food from the enemy. Very afraid. What was God seeing? This same man will go lead Israel and defeat the enemy. But in the condition he is in, God will collect those things which be not, as though they were. All anybody could say about Gideon was a fearful man of failure. Do you understand? He was hiding food so that they wouldn't catch him. He was a fearful man of failure. But God saw him and called him what he ought to be, a mighty man of valor. Now, the fearful man of failure cannot go and lead Israel in winning a battle. It is the mighty man of valor that will go. So God called the man, while he was still fearful, a mighty man. Guess what happened to Gideon? A mighty man arose and went to win. What does that mean? From the day he changes your name, from that day, when you come into his presence, you bear the new name. Hallelujah. If you talk to him as though you are the old person, it won't work. Your confessions will carry no power. No man take this honor upon himself. So a man who presently is being cheated at his place of work, he deserves promotion. And God says, you know what? Here's what will comfort. Let's say you receive a prophetic word that you are going to be the head of your own company. When you go before God, it's not as somebody who is working in that company longer. It's as this other person who is the MD CEO of this new company. That's how you go in. That's what it means to call those things which be not, as though they were. The day God rechristened Abraham, Abraham accepted, went to the market, went to the council of elders, and told them, no, my name is not Abraham, my name is Abraham. And from that time forward, he saw himself as a father of what? That's when Isaac was conceived. That's what happens. So here's what people say. I'm really not yet married. So how will I? You are acting single. You are talking single. And even if you are acting and talking single, not when you get into his presence. Is that what he has called you? Has he called you as a poverty-ridden person or as a wealthy man in Christ? Has he called you as a sick fellow or as someone who is old and sound in Christ? When you come before him, you don't come and talk before the Most High God, who can never lie. When he told you what he told you, he cannot lie. So somebody is lying between two of you. It must be you. Don't you understand? My dear brother is wearing a black suit now. God says that, I love this white suit. Check it out. It's white already. Just before you blink, white suit. I left the house with, because God can, it is impossible for God to lie. By three multiple things, it is impossible for God to lie. He called those things which be not, as though they were. So, here's where we have a problem. Christians believe they are lying when they are confessing. No. You've not yet caught the revelation. If you catch it, glory to God, you will sit down in a bus, at the back of a bus, and say, Father, I thank you for this new car. If you see before you say it, that's not faith. Anybody can do that. That's not faith. A woman is patrolling her house. I said, I want to thank you for this 5-bedroom bungalow that you just gave to us. And you're in a 1-bedroom apartment. But you're allowed to speak. Because that's not what God has called you. He didn't call you to a 1-bedroom. He called you to a 6-bedroom. Until you and God begin to say the same thing, you don't see manifestation. What people are waiting for is, when God moves us, we'll be giving God thanks. It's too late. It's too late. You're there before you get there. That's where God operates. God waited and waited. He had spoken to Abraham already, and he waited for that long until the 24th year. God said, you know what? This guy will not get the picture until we change his name. What does Abraham mean? Abraham is high father. What does Abraham mean? He's father of nations. So God says, you know what? Let's change him. When he changed him, Abraham saw what God was saying. Saw himself that way. Went to the council of elders. I know that everywhere that Abraham went, it was important. So he said, my name is no longer Abraham. It's what? Abraham. You know, people will laugh. Some will even mock. Abraham didn't say it. Because by three mutable things, it is impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible for God to lie. Hallelujah. This is how the principle works. You have to say it and see it and leave it before it physically manifests. It has to become your reality. Now, not tomorrow. You don't go before God. Even if you are praying and believing God for health, say, Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. My body responds to the word of God. That word says, by his stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed now. Then now I walk in health and healing. Somebody is waiting for the feelings to change first. When your feelings change, you're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight. And the just shall live by what? His faith. Somebody wants to change job. He's waiting for somebody to send a letter or an invite. No, no. You must have gone. If a word comes from your promotion, promotion doesn't come from the west or from the east or from the south. Where does it come from? It comes from the Lord. Notice he didn't mention not in that scripture. I caught you. How many of you doesn't mention not? How many people know why? I've taught you before. It's Mount Zion, side of the northern city of the great king. It's Mount Zion, side of the northern. God is in the north. Let me just leave that one. Hallelujah. He says, because it doesn't come from your side. He didn't mention north. There's a reason. Positionally speaking, heaven. Let's leave that one. What matters is this. Now, I want you to understand. If you don't call yourself what God calls you, when you come into the presence of the Most High, the Bible says, let us come therefore boldly. How do you come boldly? You must already know what God has called you. When you know what God has called you, you take that name and that calling, you enter boldly. And the Bible says, no man taketh this honor. So you are not taking it by yourself. It is God who gave it to you. It's God who told you you are a joyful mother of children. It's God who told you that you are an MD of new companies. It's God who told you a new contract. You are a distributor of wealth. When you enter God's presence, because God cannot lie, you come into his presence, seeing what he has said, acting like who he says you are. You will see life will enter into your confession. You see, you can't claim what God hasn't given. That's the problem. So if you don't know what God has given, how will you claim it? You can't claim what God hasn't given. Hallelujah. You can't say I'm the governor of Lagos State if there's no ambition whatsoever to become a politician inside of you. Why? That is not given to you. So the question is, what has been given to you? To be a father of nations was given to Abraham. To be a mighty man of valor was given to Gideon. To be the king of Israel was given to David. Something was given to every single person. Your confessions work faster when you locate what is given to you and you what? You say it. I'm in this place. I'm walking in this particular place. What should I say? If I don't know what the Bible says, you shall be the head and not the tail. Father, I want to thank you for the increase and the promotion that has come. For I am recognized for my proficiency and my confidence has come to the right places. What are you doing? You are declaring yourself as head. Something will happen that will promote your rising up. But you are saying, Father, you are the one that promotes. Father, promote me. You are still on a lower level. Does it work? Yes, it should take you more time. But somebody has heard the word about promotion and is saying, I'm already promoted. Why? By two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. That's why you don't play with prophetic words. Pastor Tulu shared with us about how to, Wally shared with us about how to fight with prophecy. And he spoke about being blessed also, about people who are blessed are asking God for blessing. Is that any problem? People who are blessed are asking God for blessing. I don't see myself as barren. I see myself as struggling to contain fruitfulness. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? I'm struggling to that. I must do something about this fruitfulness. I'm over fruitful. The thing is too much. It's just flowing. That's what I'm doing. Because when God gave the command, he didn't stop. Be fruitful and replenish the earth. It is meant that now say, oh, it's enough. Can you see the thinking of God and your thinking can be different? Because when you come into his presence, what you are admitting is not in line with what he has called you. What has he called you? When you receive a prophetic word, you are hearing what God has called you. That's what you are hearing. Pastor, what if I've not received any prophetic word? Well, I have good news for you. The scriptures already call you something. The path of the just is like a shining light. It shines what? Brighter and brighter. You don't say, they don't promote anybody in my office. The path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter. It doesn't matter what they do at the office. The path of the just. Are you the just? Did God call you the just? Then your path will shine brighter and brighter. So, if because of you, they will change policy there. They will change policy. I've seen government policies change because the righteous were declaring. Government policies change because the righteous men were declaring. That was when righteous men keep quiet, things go down. You will no longer be silent. Hallelujah. Listen to me. God has commanded increase upon us this last 3 months. The prophecy of increase came during an all night. He said, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that the enemy will not be able to gainsay nor resist. A mouth and a wisdom, which means you must speak like never before. And he said, 9 months, whatever you didn't see, everything will be compressed into these 3 months. How are you going to enter in? By speaking. God is a speaking spirit. You are a speaking spirit. How do you make it fast? How do you assign it? You must call yourself what God has called you. Hallelujah. You must call yourself what God has called you. You don't stand waiting. You know, I was talking to someone and was talking about, you know, getting married at somebody. So he said, it may take me a while, you know, spend some money to do one or two things. I don't know when I say this money. He said, so he said, you know, I have to save. I said, that's the problem. Saving is good. You want to save to get married. At your present level of income, how much are you able to save until you are ready? Have you forgotten that Jehovah has a pocket that is never empty? When will you take advantage of your inheritance? Is it wrong to save? No, you can't. But, you know, I had testimony of Pastor Muyiwa. I shared my testimony with him before. Funny enough, I told him, I didn't have much. So he now told me, said he saved. And money was ready. Guess what? 3 weeks before the wedding, the money went. The whole money. Over $1 million, it went. So when the money now went, he now stepped into faith. He now saw provisions that was beyond the money he was planning for the wedding. I said, God, take care of the wedding first, that he may establish the second. And the second is always better. When will you start using your tongue? Because, you know, when you work in the bank, you know, you are confident. Money is coming. You start saving. If something happened, everything just went. I said, you want to get married. You don't understand that you have a father that wants to see you get married, that provisions will come. It's good to save. But how long will you save? Until everything. You have recurrent expenses. So things will always come up that need money, in that sense. You want a good house and everything. What will happen? After all your savings have gone, his own purse is just starting. And his own provisions for you is just starting. What does he expect you to do? Will you say things in line with what he has said? Or you will say things in line with what you have seen? That's the problem. Everybody speaks according to what they have seen. Only the just know how to speak according to what God has said. For the just shall live by faith. If any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what I don't physically see yet. If it is there in God's word, it's a living reality in the realm of the spirit. I start saying it now. Hallelujah. I start saying it now. Whether it be houses or children or a new position or a new office or in anything that you desire, you start saying it now according to the word that you have received. Once you can do that, you will see a manifestation. He called those things which be not as though they were. That's how God operates. That's the honor you are meant to take to yourself. And God expects you to come. So when you are coming to the throne of grace, it's a throne of love gifts. That's what grace means. When you are coming to that throne, you speak as one that is called. That means that you are talking to God as the way God called you from that perspective. That's where you come for God to speak. That's why you can call a victory, your victory, into manifestation even now. You don't wait until the meeting or you hear news or a phone call from them. You talk about it as though your victory is already now. In fact, you are thanking God that the contract has just been awarded. That's what it means to call those things we've known as though they were. Because the Bible says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph and make manifest the savour of his knowledge. So when you enter in the presence of God, you know, people are saying, no, God, if you can do this for me, I will really praise you. God says, what about the ones I've done for you? This one was included. Why don't you praise now as though he's already with you? So those who have seen and who have declared, they praise God now. They don't praise God then. Hallelujah. You praise God now. You don't praise God then. It is now that they praise God. What they are now in possession, present tense possession of what God has spoken to them. Hallelujah. The righteous which is of faith speaks on this wise. This is how he speaks. We don't just believe, we declare what we believe. We make it a regular practice, a lifestyle. A lifestyle practice. That's what we do. Wake up in the morning. There are things that we say. We put things in our mouths. Our mouths are never empty. There's always something to say. After a while, when your heart is loaded, it will start feeding your mouth, even at times you don't expect. So that you are maintaining your victory. It's not an occasional thing. We need to prove to the world our victory is not accidental. It's a consistent thing. We don't just get well sometimes. We get well all the time. We always come out on top, no matter what situation happens. Because it happens once, they say it's happenstance. Second time, they say it's coincidence. Third time, guess what? They say there's a law at work. And we need to show them that there's a law at work. It's a law of continual victory. Yes, hallelujah. They are going after witch doctors and herbalists. Won't you go after your own God? Won't you declare what your own father has said? And they can lie, but your father can never lie. Hallelujah. Take what he has said, put it in your mouth. You are a potent spirit. That's how you develop your potency. You are a very potent spirit. So when you declare after a season, you are not thinking, hoping it will come to pass. You know something has been released in the atmosphere. It will certainly come to pass. If there's a meeting against you, it will scatter that meeting. The Bible says, surely in gathering they will gather, but not by me. Whosoever gathers against you shall fall for your sake. Why? God has already said so. That is God's will for you. So you are no longer trying to beg God to do it. He has already expressed his will for you. With long life. Hallelujah. With long life. 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 In my part is life and there is no death. With long life. In my part is life and there is no death. I'm not afraid of sickness or disease. I am a master of situations. I'm not afraid of the attacks of the enemy. I am a master of circumstance. I'm not afraid of what people say. I am a master. He has already said, he will never leave me nor forsake me. I boldly say, the Lord is my helper. 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 I will not be afraid. There is nothing that man can do unto me. He has caused me to increase. I am increasing on every side. Increase is my portion. In this season, I walk, I'm not weary. I run, I do not faint. I mount upon wings as an eagle. In the name of the Lord Jesus, on the left I'm favored. On the right I'm favored. Everywhere I go, the favor of God is upon me. I walk in a cloud of favor. Things are manifesting on my behalf. in the name of the Lord Jesus. Men are remembering me for good. Everywhere I turn, the glory of God is upon me. I arise and shine, for my light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon me. In the name of Jesus, checks are being written in my name. Money comes to me from the west. Money comes to me from the south. Money comes to me from the east. Everywhere I go, money runs after me. The blessings of God overtake me. In the name of Jesus, there is no difficulty in my path, but things are easy for me. Things work for me with ease. In the name of Jesus, I see God's word is a living reality in my life. I am fruitful now. I am fruitful now. I am fruitful now. I increase and multiply abundantly in all that I do. The work of my hands are blessed. I prosper in all that I do. In the name of Jesus, I walk in sound health, soundness of body, and soundness of mind. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed, and I walk in sound health. In the name of Jesus, my eyes see a new day. I embrace a new day, a new operation of God's goodness in my life. Surely goodness and mercy, they follow me all the days of my life. And I dwell in the house of God forever and ever. Goodness and mercy, they follow me. In all my doings, I express wisdom. Supernatural counsel is at my beck and call. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. When you wake up in the morning, don't be quiet. Begin to declare it. In that area where there's a stronghold, in that area where there seems to be a fear, declare God's word and reply, I am not a failure. Nothing fails around me. Nothing fails in me. I am a success. I'm called by God to succeed. I succeed in all that I do. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the work of my hands increases, and I succeed. And I succeed excellently. Excellent results are seen in all that I do. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm making supernatural progress. I declare, I run through troops. I leap over walls. There are no obstacles that can stand across my path. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm on the rise always. I can never be beneath again. God has made me the head. I will never be the tail. With long life, He satisfies me. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me say something before we go. Before I close this morning. The next time anything that resembles bad news comes your way. Listen. Psalm 112 says, concerning the righteous man. Are you the righteous? Are you the righteous? Let me first tell you two scriptures, because you know God cannot lie. The Bible first says, say ye to the righteous, it shall be what? Let me explain. It shall means the outcome. It shall. So it may not look well. It doesn't matter. It is not how it looks, but how it will be. It shall be well. Second scripture, Psalm 112. The Bible says that concerning righteous, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. Next time you hear, go into your closet. Listen, go into your closet. If you don't feel like you've been jumped, if you don't feel like that, shout. Then start laughing and say, you are not taking it seriously. I'm taking it very seriously. Say, I'm taking it very seriously. Very seriously. Very seriously. Listen, the business of laughing is very serious business. He that sits in heaven shall laugh. Don't you understand? Woo, glory. Glory to God. People say, you're not even serious. I can't be more serious. That this is serious business. You know, this is serious business. As you are laughing at that, you say, you are not saying this is serious business. I'm taking it very seriously. Why? He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. I was like, so you to begin to rejoice, I'm taking it very seriously. Very seriously. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No, we're not fooling around. This is how we obtain our victory at all times. It doesn't matter the news that we hear. The outcome is already sure. Before the news ever comes, you shall not be afraid. Lock the door. Force yourself to laugh. If you need to dance, dance. And say, I have the last laugh. 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 That's what the Bible says. I have the last laugh. Glory to God forever. I have the last laugh. I have the last laugh. I have the last laugh. Hallelujah. I have made up my mind. I am not letting go. God said, 3 months too much. 3 months too much. October to December, there must be miracles. There must be miracles. There must be miracles. That's what he said. There must be miracles. There must be miracles. But it must be God. And I'm entering in. I'm taking all that belongs to me. Glory to God forevermore. Lord, we exalt you. We give you glory. Glory! 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 Hallelujah! Try it! Try it! Try it! It will amaze you what will happen. Just try it. Rather than going to cry and to mourn and to be sorrowful, just try it. Tell your friend, I just received news and I want to take it seriously. I want to take it seriously. Hallelujah. They may not know what you are doing, but you know what you are doing. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. It shall turn to you for a testimony. Glory to God forevermore. Father, we give you praise this morning. We exalt your name. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the power that is released this morning. We walk in absolute victory. We give glory and honor to you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name.